2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
Ooh, Dave and I have got our eyes on the traffic cameras here in studio. Where's that, Dave? Is that, say, I-15 at 700 South?
Yep.
Snow coming down?
Snow!
Yeah. That's in Clearfield.
Oh, that's in Clearfield.
Yeah, so we know it's snowing on the roads out there in some spots. We want to make sure you know we're going to keep an eye on your traffic all morning long.
It's not impressive. There's not a lot of snow there. I'm hoping for something. I'm hoping for Snowmageddon. This is not impressive. All right, it's 9:07. It's time for the launch.
Sequence engaged.
And here are three things that Debbie wants you to know.
Countdown. Three.
That's right. I want you to know about the gun debate on Utah's Capitol Hill today, David. In fact, we're going to do an in-depth live report in the 10 o'clock hour. If you want to privately sell a gun, how about first running a background check on the buyer before you sell it? We're going to get that live interview at 10:05 from a lobbyist who's set to testify today. He thinks this is a bad idea.
Well, I don't know if it's a bad idea, but it's going to be an awkward conversation. I need to sell this gun. That's great. I'm going to need your name. I'm going to need your birthday. If you could throw your social security number. Like, how much information are you going to drag from somebody that wants to buy a gun? Like, I just am not entirely certain that conversation's going to go great. Hey, total stranger, here's all my information. Well, go ahead, let's run this bad boy.
Would you rather sell it to a convicted bank robber?
Now that's a downside. No, I do not want to sell my gun to a convicted bank robber, Debbie.
Countdown to...
Now hiring jail guards. Pay is, it's not too bad. It's about $23 an hour. You get a 401k. You get health care coverage, paid vacation included. But here's the question mark I want to ask you, Dave, because you're the dad of teenagers. Minimum age for hire now 19 years old. Yeah, the hiring crisis has hit a local sheriff's department really hard, so they've lowered the hiring age, and we're going to get a live report. Do you think your teen would be a good jail guard, Dave? Is that too young?
19 is super young. I mean, can you imagine? Everybody has that first job story. Can you imagine your first job as, well, I once was a correctional officer at a jail for my first job. Top that. You cannot top that. You'll have stories for days. No, in all seriousness, it's intriguing. It does scare me a little bit that we're still be hiring teenagers.
Launch countdown one.
Yeah, here we are. It's Wednesday. Wednesday's an important day because we talked about it earlier this week. We thought this could be the day that Russia invades Ukraine. NATO now accusing Russia of adding troops to the border. While in the meantime, Russia is posting video showing it's pulling troops back. Video of tanks rolling out by train. Do we buy it?
We have not yet verified the Russian military units are returning to their home bases. Indeed, our analysts indicate that they remain very much in a threatening position.
Well, if Russia posted the video, it must be true. There's no way that they just took that video of them driving in and dropping off the tanks and put it in reverse. Like, that never would have happened. Why do we trust anything that Russia says? We're not that dumb, right? I mean, we're dumb. We're not that dumb.
Dave and Dejanovic.
The launch.
Commence.
The future of Ukraine. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
We've asked Boyd Matheson to step in studio with us right out of the gates this morning because it feels like today could be the day, although we don't know for sure.
An invasion remains distinctly possible. That's why I've asked several times that all Americans in Ukraine leave now before it's too late to leave safely.
Fool me once, shame on me, right? Fool me twice. Like, are we really believing what Russia is saying? No, we're totally moving. until every Russian soldier is off that border and gone and nowhere to be seen, satellites cannot find them, I'm not going to believe that Vladimir Putin is, you know, retreating.
If you've just tuned in because you've seen an alert to your phones that we're talking about a cyber attack on Ukraine and the banks, that discussion happens in about 7 minutes when we get a cyber expert on the line to ask, could this possibly be Russia? And is this cyber warfare? First, though, President Biden addressing the nation yesterday, very effective that he also took time, Boyd, during his speech to appeal to the people of Russia. Let's listen. I want to get your reaction.
The United States and NATO are not a threat to Russia. Ukraine is not threatening Russia. Neither the U.S. nor NATO have missiles in Ukraine. We do not have plans to put them there as well. We're not targeting the people of Russia. We do not seek to destabilize Russia. To the citizens of Russia, you are not our enemy. And I do not believe you want a bloody, destructive war against Ukraine, a country and a people with whom you share such deep ties of family, history, and culture.
You know, I think the president yesterday, I think, was actually the best speech he's ever given. He was very focused. He was very forceful. He was very specific. And I think his call to the Russian people, I think, was one of the stronger moments as well. He also called out, kind of to your point, Dave, that this won't be trust but verify. This will be don't trust and verify in terms of what's actually happening along the border.
I really maybe didn't understand the connection between the Ukrainians and the Russian people until recently, that there is so much history, there is so much family that lives in Ukraine, that lives in Russia, and there's so much of a tie there. That makes it so scary with the thought, because and maybe even hopeful too, that those are not ties that are easily broken.
Yeah, and that's such an important point, because the biggest threat to Vladimir Putin is a successful Ukraine, for the very reasons you just pointed out, Dave. There are so many family ties. And so if Ukraine is being successful as a democracy, if people are having upward mobility, starting businesses, becoming entrepreneurs, having stability in society, those messages are all going to their family members and counterparts in Russia, and that's not good for Vladimir Putin.
Boyd, we got to get to this point. It is a topic at hand. Will this invasion possibly happen today? What's going on behind the scenes in Washington, D.C. to make sure it doesn't?
Yeah, I don't think today is the day that happens. Again, Vladimir Putin is playing this game. He's playing a different game than everyone else, and he has undermined, you mentioned the cyber threats, and you're going to hit that in just a few minutes. He's trying to destabilize Ukraine. To make the government not stable, to make the people wonder, wow, I can't access my bank. That creates a level of uncertainty. The other thing that no one's talking about that we need to mention is what the government of Russia voted yesterday to take these two eastern segments of Ukraine and declare them independent. Because that is what gives Vladimir Putin a reason to go in and help an ally. So the Duma yesterday voted to encourage President Putin to declare these two places, Donetsk and the Luhansk region, as independent. These are kind of where the rebels are. This has been a problem, but going back to 2014. Okay. And that gives Vladimir Putin a reason to go in and help. They've already sent things in there. They were they've sent 600 passports into these two regions so that people can get out if needed. So he's creating this thing. Vladimir Putin is all the shiny objects. It's not about the 148,000 on Ukraine's border. It's all these other things. It's the cyber stuff. It's these two regions that they want to declare independent.
It's the internal stuff. You've hit on that before. It is the internal stuff that could twist this.
Yeah.
Boyd Matheson, thank you so much for your insights. Straight ahead, we are going to take a deep dive on a major cyber attack. It happened in Ukraine targeting banks. We don't know for sure if it's Russia. But let's ask an expert why cyber warfare works in 4 minutes.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Dave and Dujanovic have insights on the news you've come to appreciate.
The stories that are really important.
And now we're expanding Dave and Dujanovic from 9 all the way to noon.
Join them on KSL News Radio.
The future of Ukraine. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
How would you feel? Dave, how would you feel if you tried to access your bank account and you just couldn't? It didn't show you any information about your transactions, how much money you had. You just didn't see anything. That's what people in Ukraine are going through or were going through yesterday. There was a major cyber attack. Now, we don't know if it's cyber warfare. We don't know if it's Russia. But I want to ask an expert how cyber warfare works to infuse instability in our trust in our nation's economy and put citizens on edge.
How would I feel?
Yeah.
Full panic mode. Full panic mode. If I couldn't access my bank account, if my bank account just showed up zeros, I mean, this is terrifying. And I think sometimes we have kind of an old school view of war.
Okay.
It's a tank.
Okay.
It's a bomb. Cyber warfare is warfare. And in fact, it affects people maybe even more on a personal level. Like you said, it's one thing if there's a tank on a border. It's another thing if all of a sudden I can't buy milk.
That's a great point, Dave. Citizens at the same time were also blasted with weird text alerts. It was spam, but it basically said the ATMs were down. I mean, this could have sparked a run on the banks.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. I mean, ATMs are down.
Hoarding,
I can't
hoarding,
oh, my goodness.
Emptying shelves.
Again, we don't know if it's Russia or not. Earl Foot of Nexus IT, he's our tech expert we turn to when we've got tech questions that we might not have all the answers to between Dave and I. Good morning, Earl.
Hey, good morning.
We don't know if it's Russia, but this is the timing is sure suspicious.
Yeah. So I think that based upon the trail of breadcrumbs, everybody is speculating that the cyber attacks against Ukraine are coming from Russia. The data footprint seems to suggest that as well. With Russia, on the borders and tensions mounting, between those two countries, it certainly seems like what we are beginning to witness. And I'm not don't want to be a fearmonger. I don't want to, speculate or over-speculate, but it's pretty easy to draw the conclusions of what we're seeing is the next evolution of warfare, which is, the first wave of attack is cyber warfare to destabilize, populations, to cause pandemonium, to cause confusion. There is Microsoft, the threat analyst at Microsoft who discovered the initial attack last week on Ukraine have confirmed that many of the compromised systems are within Ukrainian infrastructure, potentially water distribution systems, petroleum pipelines and all those types of infrastructure type, of organizations that, potentially could be shut down. We saw that happen on our own soil with, Colonial Pipeline. Not quite a year ago, and it would appear that certainly that's probably the tactic that is being carried out here is trying to destabilize populations so that if Russia chooses to mount a physical attack, that it's probably a much easier scenario for them to take control.
Earl, this is obviously so invasive and hitting really at the root of what is going on in this part of the world. Is there anything that we can do about it? Is there anything that Ukraine can do about it? Is it too late? Can they protect themselves? Because it just seems that they are so vulnerable.
Yeah. According to Microsoft, they have and are issuing patches to address the vulnerability that has been exploited, that has allowed all of these Ukrainian government systems to be breached. This isn't a traditional ransomware. This is a malware that acts like a ransomware because it says, you need to pay a $10,000 ransom. But when the malware is executed, it actually erases the data on the hard drives rather than just encrypting the data. Hmm. And so it renders systems completely useless that would have to be rebuilt from the ground up. Microsoft is saying that they have patched, vulnerabilities. The Ukrainian government certainly, and not just them, but, business organizations and our own government have to take these threats seriously, be on the proactive, and it has to be a constant, literally in today's world, whether it be on the corporate side or on the government side, we're all at cyber warfare at all times, and you have to take the threat real, and you have to take all of the the necessary measures in order to try and protect whatever entity you're involved with.
Yeah, and Earl, I was going to point out, these weren't just like, you know, banks with one or two branches. These were two major banks in Ukraine, and you would hope if you were banking with a major institution that they would not be at risk for something like this, but apparently they are.
Yeah, it's becoming such a difficult thing to defend against, honestly, and particularly there are nation states that have, you know, nation state sponsored hacking groups that honestly are evolving at a pace that is becoming challenging for the rest of the world and particularly the private sector to keep up with. You know, while, you know, cybersecurity firms and organizations with robust cybersecurity practices can take literally, you know, and follow all the best practices necessary to try and protect an organization, it does not make you 100% impervious. And, you know, it's a matter of being hyper-vigilant, particularly in today's world, you know, utilizing what are called security operation centers that are monitoring, you know, for malicious behavior or traffic 24/7, 365 is becoming a necessity because, you know, the question is less of a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and you need to be proactive and be able to identify that threat early on so you can neutralize it and recover, you know, from wherever you're at.
Earl Foote, thank you for joining us with Nexus IT, our tech expert. Thank you so much for joining us.
If you missed the beginning of this conversation, the reason we're talking about this is because Ukraine people yesterday, two major banks were victimized by cyber attacks. We don't know if it's Russia. The speculation, as you just heard, Earl saying, I don't want to over-speculate, but all evidence is pointing to it being Russia and using this as cyber warfare to scare people, to create chaos within the economy in Ukraine.
And I think part of what we're struggling with right now as a world, not just Ukraine, yeah, not just the United States, is what's the appropriate response? What's a proportional response? Because we did have our colonial pipeline shut down.
Remember
hundreds
the
of
lines?
Oh.
People were lined up on the, you know, from the south up to the east coast to get gasoline.
That was one pipeline.
Yeah.
Imagine if that attack was coordinated and there were several pipelines and banking.
Would have been more important than the gasoline. He talked about the water infrastructure.
Yes.
Being at risk. I mean, there's just one thing we need to survive.
So
water.
Again, the question is, what do you do about this? Because I haven't heard what we've done about the Colonial Pipeline. What's a proportional response? Is it invasion? Is it a cyber attack on your country? Because this is so new and it's so effective that I don't think we have a good idea of how to handle it.
We're going to turn our focus back to the home front and a major announcement by a sheriff's office here that they have lowered the hiring age to guard prisoners down to 19 years old. So Dave's going to think this through in the next 3 or 4 minutes. Would you let your teen apply to be a jail guard? Next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.